Hello, welcome to Heat Hop, but something's off with me, just Joey T. Spring is upon us, and yesterday I did a little drive into Palm Springs from LA. It's the first kind of sort of road trip that I took in this car. Well, there's some people that commute, apparently I've heard this, some people commute 100 miles each way just for like their regular commute for the day job. And yeah, that's to me, it's a little crazy. Spending a lot of time in a car is not a foreign concept to me, because when I used to be in the office in the LA, this was like, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, it would be 10 miles from my house to the office. It would be nearly an hour driving home in LA rush hour traffic to do 10 miles to get from the office back to my house. So I remember there's been a few times where it took like an hour and 15 minutes to do those 10 miles because it was like weird traffic issues or something was going on. So yeah, not a stranger to spending a lot of time like in the car. Yeah, but to do 100 miles commute. Anyways, I was actually in, for a short little conference. There was a couple conference sessions for something I wanted to go to. And I was like, I don't need to get a hotel there. Hotels in Palm Springs are kind of expensive. I love Palm Springs. One of my favorite places to go, actually. But I didn't need to spend that much money on the hotel. So I just drove in the morning real early. Nice drive over there. Weather was good. And then just did the sessions and then came back. All right. Today, I picked a couple of topics to chat about. I do want to turn this podcast or whatever I'm going to post on the Just Joey T channel into like a cruise party specific podcast. That is in the works. I think I can do it and pull it off and sustain it. I'm thinking there's already a bunch of people I think I want to bring on as just guests, people that I've worked with. On the Atlantis cruises, for example, people that I've met through the various cruises and parties that I've been to. I'm getting a little excited about that, to kind of reboot this to be more like cruise party specific and have some other people on the pod as well. Speaking of people that I've worked with on the Atlantis cruises, one of the things I thought I'd talk about today and give everybody a little bit of a insider insight are the Team Atlantis family, if you will, and just explain a little bit about some of the people that helped to make every Atlantis cruise possible. And these are actually some of the more visible members of the Atlantis family that you will see on every Atlantis cruise. So Atlantis corporate, so the people that are full-time with Atlantis is actually a very small company. I don't have the actual numbers, and I don't think they disclose it, but Atlantis themselves, there's only about, I don't know, like 10, 15-ish full-time employees where their day job is doing Atlantis, you know, every day, every week, every month of the year. So it's actually quite a small company in that regards. And you need more than 10 or 15 people to run a cruise of like 3,000-5,000 people, right? Atlantis charters all of the cruise ships. Chartering, which means they take over the entire ship. It's not like they split the ship with, you know, customers that book directly with the cruise line, for example. When they have an Atlantis cruise, Atlantis charters the entire ship. So to make sure that the cruises go off smoothly, you know, you need more than that number of people. What happens is there are a number of Team Atlantis people, and these people are volunteers. So when you see them on the cruise ships, they're dressed up in the same kind of outfits and uniforms that some of the full-time Atlantis staff also. So, you know, visually, you can't really identify them as different. There's a number of, usually something between like 12 to 15-ish of the Team Atlantis volunteers that go on each of the Atlantis cruises. They have an Atlantis badge that they wear. They dress up in coordinated outfits. Usually it's a button-up shirt and some sort of khaki pants during the daytime, for example, or also nighttime as well. They have a prescribed a set of outfits that they all wear. So it's all coordinated. And yeah, but they're there only for that particular cruise. And there's actually a pool of Team Atlantis people that Atlantis, the company, can choose from each cruise. For example, I have been on Team Atlantis as a volunteer for the LA Mexico cruises. Primary reason is because, you know, I'm based in LA, or I'm based in California each time those cruises have happened. So it was just the easiest and most convenient, just makes the most sense for me to be quote unquote working those cruises on the years that I was available. Yeah. And the volunteers, because this is not, it's volunteer, so it's not a paid gig. It's not their day job. So there's a pool of them that Atlantis can kind of rotate between, depending on when the cruise happens, what time of year, and where the cruise sets sail out of. Obviously, it doesn't make sense to fly people from Europe to volunteer for a cruise in Australia, for example, right? It'd be probably makes more sense to draw more from people that are closer to Australia to work an Australian cruise, as an example. So yeah, if you go on multiple different Atlantis cruises, you notice that, yeah, some of the people wearing the Atlantis name tags, some people who appear to be Atlantis staff, some of them will look familiar from cruise to cruise, because there is definitely some full-time Atlantis staff that are like, you know, they work at Atlantis full-time that go on each of the cruises. But a lot of the Atlantis, quote-unquote, staff that you see are actually Team Atlantis volunteers that have been, that go on that cruise just kind of as like a one-off thing, and they rotate between the people in that pool. A lot of those people are people that I know through, you know, volunteering for Team Atlantis, just haven't been on gay cruises. They're all super nice, super friendly, super fun people, and they all definitely have a really strong customer service background to all of them. So they're so much fun to work with, and that's why I volunteered with Team Atlantis several times now. But yeah, they are the people that you can just, if you see them, you can flag any one of them down and pretty much ask them anything. And one of the more memorable parts of doing that volunteer role with Team Atlantis for me personally is actually when I get to stop and actually talk to guests when I'm like not on shift and have to like run around and do something as much as I can. I want to interact with the guests, and like all the Team Atlantis people love doing that, which is great. The most memorable parts for me were when I actually had a chance to have a real conversation with various different guests, and not just some small talk, 30 to 60 seconds of that, where I was able to like talk with them for like 5 or 10 or 15 minutes, or even over a meal or over dinner, or, you know, for like an hour, and actually hear what their experience is like and what their background is. Because when you're working the cruise, we're serving everyone, right? Part of the Team Atlantis values, if you will, is making sure that all the guests are having a good time. Everyone's on vacation, right? People are paying good money to be on a ship to have a good vacation. So that's part of the duty of all the Atlantis members, including the Team Atlantis volunteers, to make sure that happens. Yeah, some of the things that team, the volunteers do, obviously the full-time staff members, they're doing kind of the more heavy-duty lifting for some of the cruise responsibilities. For example, they help manage any issues that arise with reservations or with the rooms, and they have a really close connection with whichever cruise line the ship is being chartered from. So, you know, let's say you have an issue with billing, maybe there's some errors in what was charged to your room, and you go contact Atlantis for that, you know, you'll probably end up working with a full-time member from Atlantis corporate, because that's more like the corporate type of thing that the full-time members do. What the volunteers do on Team Atlantis are more on the experience side of things. So there are actually some common shifts that the Team Atlantis volunteers take on. And yes, we do have shifts every morning, actually, or like early afternoon, depending on the day. All the Atlantis team members, including Team Atlantis volunteers, as well as the full-time people from Atlantis proper. We all have this big team meeting in the morning. And this is something that regular, the guests and customers don't see this. This is kind of all very like behind the scenes. We wake up a little earlier than most people and have this meeting. It's really important for us to do that. We go through any feedback that we've gotten about anything from anyone from the previous day that we weren't able to address just right away. When we hear about an issue, we try to address it just immediately if it's possible. But sometimes if it's a more complicated issue or if it's something that it's already happened and there's nothing we can do right away when we get the feedback for that, you know, we feed it back to the greater group. And sometimes it happens in that morning team meeting. We also go through and just double check all the things that are supposed to be happening for that day coming ahead. So it's just a bunch of organization and feedback, and we kind of discuss if there are any changes that are being made to the itinerary or to the schedule, the entertainment. And there's also a representative from the cruise line that's also in that meeting as well. So that's something that the guests don't see, but you know, the volunteers that are on Team Atlantis, they're not there to like just get a free cruise, because the volunteers do go on a cruise for free, but they don't get paid. So hence, you know, they're volunteers. They're actually doing proper work. So, and that's one kind of behind the scenes example of that. But everybody gets a shift schedule, the people who volunteer, and some of the more common positions or shifts that people get. Every party that you see happen on the cruise, obviously there are people doing the sound, people doing the AV, people doing the lights, kind of that kind of stuff. And that stuff is outsourced to kind of like the AV lighting professionals who are like, you know, technicians, engineers that specialize in that kind of stuff. But there's also a someone from Atlantis assigned to every single party. And they get to the party early, 20, 30 minutes before the party actually starts, just to make sure nothing is amiss. You know, is the DJ there on time? DJ should be doing sound checks with the AV engineers and technicians that should also be there as well. What about the team that's doing the lights and the lasers? Are there any issues with the venue if it's a party that's happening poolside? Did the cruise line staff clear away all the deck chairs well in advance of when the party is going to start? Because a lot of times they have to clear away the deck chairs so that there's actually space for people to dance and for there to be a floor space for the party. If there's supposed to be decorations for that particular party, because a lot of the parties are themed, are the decorations going up? So things like that, there's a little bit of kind of supervision and management that comes with that. And most of the time, everyone that's involved, all these technicians and engineers and the talent, the DJs, everything is on track and it goes smoothly without a hitch. But there are some times where, and I've been in that position where I was assigned to work a party. I get there a little bit early. There was actually one time, I think I tell this story. I was assigned to work the after party, the after hours party. So there's the main party at night and there's an after hours party after that. And there was a time change the first night where we had to set our clocks for or back an hour or something like that. And because of that, the DJ we had scheduled wasn't ready. They were actually still sleeping through no fault of their own. But that's why we have someone that's in this position to kind of double and triple check everything, right? So for that instance, Ashley ended up calling the DJ's room, because we have a list of the numbers for all the people that we need to contact, including, you know, if we need to reach like the DJs, we can do that. We have to. So I was able to call up the DJ and just make sure like, hey, just so you know, there's like a time change. So we actually need you at like this hour and not this other hour. They weren't aware of that, which is fine. But yeah, because of that, we were able to start the party on the scheduled time. That's just like one little story that I have from my time being with Team Atlantis working one of the parties. So that's the party position. The person assigned to the party also needs to coordinate closing down the party, and there's not always a set time. So most nights, like I said, there's a main party, maybe it's out on the pool deck, and there's a after hours party that's usually indoors, and you know, that doesn't get going till like 3, 4, 5, and it goes till kind of early morning hours. So there's a coordination between when we switch over from the main party to the after hours. And there's not usually like a set time. What happens is the Atlantis will monitor, you know, like how happening, to borrow a phrase, how happening and how busy the main party is. And based on that, we kind of decide when would be a good time to transfer everyone who's still there at the main party as it starts to dwindle down over to the after hour space, which is always a smaller space, right? So maybe, you know, when the main party gets to have only about like 80 or 60-ish people, it depends a little bit. This is not like hard set numbers. We just have to go by the particular ship, the particular crowd, how big is the after hours venue, how late is it, you know, how long the DJ's playing, just a whole bunch of factors. But when it gets to something like 90, 80, 70 people, that's where we start thinking about, okay, we're gonna transition people from the main party, if they still want to party, over to the after hours. Okay, there's a different person for the after hours. Is that party going? Is that venue ready? So there's another person assigned to that in addition to someone else assigned to the main party. They do a handover to make sure that, you know, we transition people indoors to the after hours in a nice way, right? For people that still want to keep partying. So that's one of the maybe more demanding shifts, because if you're working if you're assigned the after hours position, that party, you have to be there when the party starts. And you have to check on the party at least ever so often. And you have to be there to shut down the party. So if you're assigned to the after hours party, maybe you start that shift at around like 2, 3, 4 a.m., you know. And then at some point, you'll need to be awake at like 7, 8, sometimes 9 a.m. to shut down that party and make sure that, you know, it gets closed down properly. So that could be a bit of a harsh, demanding job, because you need to stay up. And, you know, when you're working these positions, yeah, you see the Atlantis people dancing, you know, and like having a good time with the guests. But, you know, we still need to be coherent. You know, we can't be like, you know, heavily intoxicated. You know, we're still kind of on duty. We're still there to like work the party, in the sense that we need to make sure that, you know, we check up on the party every so often. We're there at the party mainly because of that. Yeah, and we have to be looking out for things all the time. That's one of the maybe more prominent or harder shifts to work. Some other shifts that where you actually see the Team Atlantis people, every night there is a show at the main theater. There's usually two showings. And we have people stationed at the entrance of the theater about 30 minutes before the show actually starts, just to greet and welcome people in. And part of this is to make sure that there's visibility of the Atlantis team members at the major events. So if you ever have, it's not just to like welcome and greet people in, which by in and of itself is a relatively simple task, but it's also so that kind of when you go to different places on the ship, whether it's the dining room or the main theater or to the party, kind of like the main attractions, like the major activities, if you will, there's always Team Atlantis people available for you to give your feedback, for you to ask a question, just for whatever reason that you want to speak or talk to them for like any reason. It doesn't have to be about the show that you're about to see. Maybe you want to ask about like, oh, I heard that there's supposed to be a couples meetup sometime later on in the night. But we you have no idea where it is or how that works. You know, there you might see some Team Atlantis people welcoming you into the theater. You can just stop and ask them that question, right? So the visibility part is really important, so that we make ourselves available to all the customers, all the guests that are on the ship. So it's not just there. You might just see them at the theater and just saying like, good evening, thank you for coming to the show, welcome in. They do that, but they do more than that. They're there so that they're available to you for you to ask any question that you might have, and just so you have access to them. It's a little bit like, well, I don't know if it's comparable, but you know, on a flight, you have flight attendants, and people just think flight attendants are there to serve you food and drinks. The primary reason for a flight attendant to be there is actually for the safety of everyone on board. Their main job is to be trained in all these different safety-related procedures. Like they need to know first aid in case there's a medical emergency on board. They need to how to coordinate evacuation, so the whole plane needs to be evacuated. They're training like a whole bunch of different things. That's actually the main job of a flight attendant. Even though what you see on the vast majority of flights, because the vast majority of flights don't have any safety security incidents where they would need to call upon that safety training, what you usually see when you take a flight is them getting you a pillow or grabbing you a drink or getting you some food, right? So yeah, that's not a popular shift for Team Atlantis. That it's more visible, right? And you also see them at the main dining room, the main dining hall during the dinner shift. And similar function, right? They will welcome you to the dining hall. They will probably help you get seated, either if you came with a group of people and you guys need a table, they'll help you with that and communicate with whoever the host is from the cruise line. Or one of the best things that I like to see is if you're a solo cruiser and you know, you want to meet some other friends on the cruise, meet some other cruisers, one of the best things, one of the best features, I think, is when you go to the main dining room during dinner time, just let either the host or the Team Atlantis people at the entrance know, you know, that you're a solo cruiser and that you want to join a table with some others and kind of meet some new friends. A lot of the Team Atlantis people will actually prompt you and ask if you want that or not. But that's actually a really awesome way. If you are a solo cruiser, even if you're not solo, even if you're a couple, for example, and you just want to meet new people, you don't have to be a solo cruiser. You can be anyone, and you can just go to the main dining during dinner time, and you can ask to be sat at a larger table that with other people that want to do the same. So kind of when you get to that table, everyone's kind of in that, whatchamacallit, everyone's kind of on the understanding that, oh, you know, they wanted to sit at that table because they want to meet and talk to other cruisers that they've never met before, right? Of course, if you are there with your significant other and it's day night, you just want a private table for two, definitely no problem. Or you have like a group of friends and you guys want a private table, definitely you can do that too. But you know, the ability to kind of join a table with just other cruisers so that I can meet new people and kind of make some new friends, I think it's like a really awesome feature of going to the main dining for dinner. And it's not something that I guess it's widely published, but definitely in the training for Team Atlantis, they do talk to us about that and give us some information about that. And it's something that we actually offer up to make sure people who come into the main dining, we usually offer that option up so that they are aware of it and can take advantage. Yeah. So I was going to talk about some other topics as well, but I've talked for like 20 minutes now about Team Atlantis. Yeah, so that's just like a little glimpse into the how Atlantis kind of works. I don't work for Atlantis full time. So every time you've seen me on a cruise ship or in a video where I look like I'm working because I have like the Team Atlantis badge, I'm like all dressed up in like a buttoned up shirt, which I never wear in the real life, by the way. I would never wear stuff like that in real life. Like outside of the cruise, like in my personal life when I'm not working, I would never dress up like that. Yeah, but whenever you see me do that, it's because I was volunteering for Team Atlantis for that particular cruise. A lot of people ask me, do I work for Atlantis? And I don't. I happen to have made a lot of videos about Atlantis cruises, but my vast majority of those are when I was a paying guest on that particular cruise. But I do have some YouTube videos where they were on cruises where I was volunteering with Team Atlantis. And in addition to just doing like the regular video where I show like the entertainment and the parties and the activities, I also did some kind of vlog style videos so that people can kind of see, what Team Atlantis does in like video form. So if you're curious, go check out my YouTube channel, Just Joey T, the same channel where you can find this podcast in its current form. And yeah, so need to think up some sort of name for the new podcast. Possibly, maybe I might take a brief hiatus between this current podcast as it is and before I can spin up the new one. I'm kind of excited because I can already think of some people just here in LA. There are a few boys from Team Atlantis, that volunteer pool I was talking about, that are here in LA, and I could easily just pull them in for an interview. David Lam, you've have seen him in my YouTube videos, and he's been a repeat guest on the podcast. I have a sneaking suspicion he doesn't really like me pulling him into the podcast that much. He will talk about stuff, but I think maybe he just feels guilty because he crashes my place every time he visits. And he's just like, okay, well, since I'm crashing your place for free, I guess I'll do this podcast with you that I don't really want to do. But we will have David at least once on the new podcast once I figure out how to get that going. Yeah, but I'm excited to have some guests that we can actually talk about some of the cruise and also some like party, like gay circuit party or like EDM festivals and that kind of stuff. They're actually, I love going to EDC Vegas, for example, but I'm not a seasoned veteran in terms of music festivals, like especially the EDM ones, which are the most popular. I know a lot of people where it's their jam. It's like their main thing. I'm more into the cruises and also like the gay circuit parties. It's more kind of my thing that I do more often. So it'd be great. I think it'd be really interesting and exciting to actually invite some people I know that are much more knowledgeable about the music festivals out there and have them kind of give their advice and expertise on that. And I can stick a little bit more to the gay cruises and circuit parties. So as always, let me know your thoughts on the YouTube comment section of this video podcast. And I guess until next time, bye.